All right, I'm going to get started. I'm going to do something, I've really debated whether I was going to do this or not, but I feel compelled to. I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I want to dedicate this talk to a colleague that lost his life 2 weeks ago. I don't know how many of you knew Frank Platt. I know Darius, you did. So I knew Frank for over 13 years. He worked with me, great friend. He was also very well known in the barbecue community, and it was a senseless road rage incident. So, but the reason why I mention that is that Frank, among other things that he was passionate about, was very passionate about small and mid-sized business security. And I think if he were here, he would agree with me and say that yes, SMB, small and mid-sized business security is in fact broken. And where I'm coming from with this is that in the entirety of my career, the focus has been on large organizations. I've been around for a while, so I also use paper notes if you don't mind. You may leave here with more questions than when you came, and that's okay. I kind of want you to start thinking about things, thinking about the problems I'm going to talk about and potential solutions. But first I got to talk a little bit about the why. And it's like you might be sitting there saying, well, why should I care? You really need to think about what your why is. I think you probably all have done this in information security. And to set the level set terminology, because I know a lot of people use different terminology for different things, I consider cybersecurity a subset of information security, cyber being the technical part, but I still sometimes use them both interchangeably, so I'll try not to be too confusing. If your why is more along the lines of being very technical and very focused on the exact thing of what you're doing and the glamorous part of cyber, if you will. I don't know if this presentation is for you, but if you have a true passion for helping folks, helping the greater good, the greater environment of security, and I'll explain that a little bit further as I go on. But we've talked about it, and you've talked about it. You've seen things talking about. In various critical industries, securing assets, all that stuff. We know what it is that we have to do. And if you have a passion for that, if you really truly believe that what you do has an impact or needs to have an impact on securing that information and assets and critical industries, if you realize that we live in a world of nearly infinite vulnerabilities, that enough exploitation of those vulnerabilities could affect your bank account or your job or your health or even your life, and I think you probably will want to care about what I have to say. At least I hope so. So a little bit of a level set. I have been around for a while, and I thought that the best way to explain for context my background is to ask ChatGPT to produce a image of a 1990 or so data center-esque type thing. They got it pretty good here. You got I think one of the things that I like the most with this picture is that the monitors are starting to show the discoloration from those fluorescent lights up above. We don't really have fluorescence anymore. We have LED. So it makes you wonder what was actually going on with those lights. We did have chair backs back then. This one seems rather uncomfortable. Rows of stuff, you know, that's not like a rack that had like, you know, firewall, server, switch and all that. Each one of those was a component of a mainframe, so that might be one mainframe back there. And then behind it, and I'm a little bit disappointed that in this image it wasn't more, but behind it you see like a shelf of binders. We always had like all these binders all over the place, and I don't think anybody ever looked in them. I don't know what they were there for. I don't know if they held the shelves down or something. And Chris, to your benefit, I think that this, yes, probably was connected with Token Ring at this time. So, anybody remember Token Ring besides Chris and I? Okay, there's another one. There's a couple. Okay, for the rest of you, look up Token Ring, not the current thing, whatever it is now, but the Token Ring and network from back in the day. But you know, back then things were different, and we had less distractions and we had less things to secure. I have been in information security since, or IT and information security since 1989. And again, the reason why I say this is that I think that just on longevity alone, I'm not really trying to pat myself on the back, but I think that my opinion holds some weight. I've seen an awful lot in this field over the last 35 years. And a lot of what I see today disturbs me. I think that the SMB space has been vastly underserved, period, in this space during my entire time. Now, the last 7 years, that's been sort of my mission. I started out with being a virtual CISO. I'll talk a little bit about that later, but that's what I do, hence the big V with the CISO on the corner. That's my job. So this presentation is called Challenges and Opportunities in Small and Mid-Sized Business Information Security. So let's start with the challenges, and what do I mean by that? Now, as I started before, when I started, this isn't really as much technical as it is beyond it. Technical is a part of it, but this is one of the few times when I'm going to ask for audience participation to see if the food coma had actually set in. I always ask this on, I produce a podcast called The Virtual CISO Moment, and each week I ask my guests, what do you think is one of the most significant threat to cybersecurity in small and mid-sized businesses, or information security? I'm gonna kind of alter that a little bit. Does anybody want to volunteer what they think is like one of the most significant challenges for small and mid-sized businesses in information security? Yes?
Staffing.
I'm sorry?
Staffing,
technical staffing, yes. They need people like a virtual CISO to help with their business. So thank you, I appreciate that. But no, staffing is really a big deal. You've got so many people wearing their own hats. So, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Understanding of the issues at hand.
Understanding of the issues at hand. One of the best answers that I got as far as like the threat question on the podcast was bad advice, which is, it kind of speaks to the other side of that coin about not understanding what's going on out there. And a lot of businesses, actually small mid-sized businesses, this can be a bit of a challenge where they sometimes don't want to understand because they're focused on being small and mid-sized businesses. But I'm going to focus on a few things from challenges from the perspective of our industry. And what do I mean by our industry? I mean all of us here, cybersecurity, information security, we know what we do. We are very familiar with conferences and processes and trying to help and so forth. But our industry, as a kind of big overarching umbrella term, I think has some serious problems. I don't think that we're devoting significant resources to small and mid-sized business security. You might be thinking, well, yeah, okay, I get that. You don't have enough people. You're trying to push the virtual CISO thing and this and that. No, that's not the case at all. And let me give one example first of where I'm trying to go with this, and that's conferences. Now, I want you to think about conferences. Now, this one might be a little bit different. It's a little bit different because I'm talking about this here. But if you go to, just think about the last conference you went to outside of here, and maybe you don't notice this, but walk around and query the vendors and how many of them there are selling solutions that are directly applicable to a small or mid-sized business. Now, you got some that are selling to MSPs and MSSPs. So for the acronym challenge, that's managed service provider and managed security service provider. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about, because you're still basically selling to an enterprise, which is the MSP or the MSSP. And then think about the sessions. That's why I said this, me just speaking here, for example, I'm totally focused on SMB stuff right now. But if you go to a conference and you look at the speakers that are involved in the sessions, how many of those are actually addressing directly small and mid-sized business needs? I mean, you have you have a lot of like this general talking about red teaming and blue teaming and purple teaming and plaid teaming and all these other teamings. And it's all great stuff that needs to be done. But an SMB, I'll define that a little bit later in the in the podcast. I knew that was going to happen. I'll define that a little bit later in the presentation. But they don't care about that. I mean, I've been doing this virtual CISOing. I call it VCSOing. I don't think I coined that term, but I pretend that I do. I've been doing it for so long that it's just like I see the differences and I see the challenges. They're just trying to keep their business running. So conferences are geared mainly towards large organizations. And I'm going to give you an example of this. I don't remember what conference this was for, but this is an email I got, and I was looking forward to sending out this presentation to several different conferences. Incidentally, I sent this to, excuse me, maybe 9. This is the only one that accepted it so far. So I think I got 4 rejects, so I still have a few out there, but it kind of goes to show that this isn't the most popular topic out there. You want topics that are either very highly technical or can generate some sort of money or both. But anyway, this email came in and said, each year the conference features dozens of speakers on third-party risk management. I love third-party risk management. That's one of my big deals. Cloud security, emerging cybersecurity threats, and AI machine learning threat mitigation and management. Now, this is all good right now. You are thinking, wow, that's a great lineup. Attendees will gain an understanding of how some of the largest and most sophisticated organizations in the world are managing risk and leave the conference better armed to defend their company, regardless of its size or the status of its risk mitigation program. Well, all right, maybe they've got a little bit of an out there to say regardless of the company size, but what this big company does with regard to all those great things that are up there is a lot different than what a small business does and a medium-sized business. So you're sitting there, I have done this over the last 7 years. I've gone to conferences. I'm like, well, that's great, but I can't do any of this. This can't help me. It's just not possible. I don't have the budget. I don't have the need. I mean, that's part of the reason why the virtual CISO exists, because it's like you don't need someone full time for that sort of stuff. But I digress. I'm going to give you another story. So right now, the first kind of example of this that I've given as far as where we're failing as an industry, talking about conferences. Second, our associations. Now, I'm not going to identify the particular association associated with this story, but a few months ago, I received an email invite to join a CISO exclusive club, let's just say, through this organization. And I'm like, well, that's cool. I like hanging out with CISOs. I used to be one full time, a couple organizations. CISOs are cool, talk about some great stuff. I can learn some stuff from them, they can learn from me. I like hanging out with them, so I wanted to find out what it was about. I said, yeah, send me more information. Well, had a little bit of back and forth on email. They're like, okay, we'll get back to you, we'll get back. I'm like, okay, all I want to know is, what can I get out of this and what is it going to cost me? Those are the two variables, right? They're trying to sell me something. Finally, I got an email saying, well, can we schedule a meeting? And I'm thinking, wow, this must be a real big sales deck that they're doing here. They're going to sell me on something. And I'm like, yeah, sure, we can do a meeting. Well, the meeting was basically to say, you're not invited. I'm like, what did I do? Did I swear in the email or something? I don't think so. I'm trying not to do that. They said, well, you're a vendor. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's unpack this for a second. First of all, I'm a practicing CISO. In addition to several other clients with my staff, I am a practicing CISO currently for 3, maybe 4 organizations, depending upon how another thing goes. I mean, I'm a practitioner, and that's the whole point. That's what I would want to get out of this, is like, commensurate with my CISO brethren. But this thing about a vendor, it's like, okay, so I'm a virtual CISO. I'm not really going to try to sell you, Mr. CISO, on a virtual CISO. I mean, it really makes very little sense. We do some CISO advisory, but that's very slim and far between. It's typically, I think all of our clients nowadays is like, we're not working for a CISO. We're working for the organization as their CISO. Well, I won the argument, and they said, yes, we'll let you in the club. And then they told me a little bit about it. I haven't joined yet because I still don't really see the value. But the point was that I made a point, and B, this was the genesis actually for this presentation. And if this sounds a little disjointed, it's because all this is still evolving in my mind. But I said, okay, well, this, I'm glad you understand. And not only did they understand, they're like, we want you to write a 3-part series for our regular magazine, we'll call it, on SMB security, why it's a problem in the industry. I said, well, that's great. I have now, boom, I have gotten through. People are starting to understand that this is a, we're not treating this the way we need to treat it. Well, a few emails later, it was eventually squashed by someone higher up in this unnamed organization, as a side note, who I also had invited onto the podcast and did not show and ghosted me. And that basically told me that this was something that they just wanted to ignore. That's what I'm talking about, the problem. I'm trying to bring this to light. And the first thing that we have to do when we bring something to light is to try to talk about it. All right, let's now pivot a little bit. We'll talk about MSSPs. Is that the answer? Well, MSSPs, they do really good stuff. Pause to take a drink. All right, very good. Who did that, Rubio? Like in the middle of like a response to something, and he got slammed on social media for that like 10 years ago or something.
Finished the whole bottle though.
Oh no, I forgot that part. So MSSPs, they're an integral part of layered security. You're probably all familiar with the concept of layered security. Or in-depth security in depth. I mean, it's a good concept for if one control fails, then the other one's going to pick it up. I mean, it just makes sense. But MSSPs are primarily focused on selling products. They don't typically have the SMB best interest at heart all the time. Now, I got to be careful because I don't want to generalize MSSPs. But the point is that they're out to make money. And this has created another problem in the SMB support arena. There are some MSSPs that now are offering the service that I do, the virtual CISO. But it works mainly as like an inside sales job. So think about the first thing that a virtual CISO does is go in and say, all right, give me some evidence. I'm going to do a gap analysis against some framework. We'll talk frameworks in a moment, but it's either going to be like NIST CSF or the CIS 18, and then from there we'll figure out what we need to do. Well, if they do their analysis and they say, you know, you need a SIM or you need a better SIM. Oh, and by the way, we got one, and we can sell that to you. And since you're a customer of ours, we can sell it at a discount. I didn't think that happened, but over the course of the past year, I've talked with several folks that have been in the MSSP world, and they said, oh, yes, it happens all the time. And then that gets to the whole bad advice for SMBs, which is a big risk, and you're not really solving the root cause of the problem. And so without belaboring the point, and I only bring this up here, I'm not really going to read this, but basically a managed security service provider is going to be more concerned with providing your SMB with firewalls, antivirus, endpoint protection, monitoring, that sort of stuff. And so that is first line of defense. I can't do a presentation without talking about the 3 lines of defense. It's just impossible. That's first line of defense. And whereas the virtual CISO or the CISO role is risk management, and that's second line. So there's that difference there. And there's the concept of having to keep first and second line separate. And third line is audit, which makes sure that first and second are being honest and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So what's the root cause of this problem thus far? I think it's fairly easy. Pink Floyd wrote a song about it about 50 years ago. It's really about money in some way, shape, or form. Everything revolves around money. SMBs, they don't really have an attractive margin for these types of tools, which is why you don't see tools being developed as much directly for them. It's not to say that there aren't exceptions. There are. I'm saying that as an industry, we're not paying enough attention to that. So they don't have an attractive margin. It's all about money. All right. So that's the preamble to this talk. Let's talk about where we're actually at today and why I'm hopefully going to convince you, or at least show you my point of view as to why this is a real problem. Let's step back a couple of months. I think this is actually stepping back to November. Do you all remember about this Bank of America leak, data leak? You may or may not, because this happens like so often, it's like white noise. I mean, you know, what? How many a day on average? It's like it's not like the old days where like one made like, you know, the news for like 3 weeks straight. Target. In early November 2023, Infosys McCamish Systems LLC, quote, has become aware of a cybersecurity incident resulting in non-availability of certain applications and systems in IMS. Well, all right, what is that really telling us here? It's telling us that Bank of America has a third-party service provider and that something wonky happened with their security program, and that wonkiness, because Bank of America trusts this third party, that, okay, that was the way in. Now, just from my informal observations, in other words, scrolling through LinkedIn for the most part, because I haven't seen an actual article on this yet, but the general consensus is that the reason why this happened is because Bank of America failed in their third-party information security risk management program. Now, if you're not familiar what a TPISRM is, because we love acronyms, basically it's ensuring that you contract with a third party, you need to make sure that their security controls are in place and effective, because they're going to be dealing with your information. And if they do something, who gets the blame? Who gets the media coverage? Well, in this case, it's Bank of America, not the third party. Nobody remembers the third party. What's the problem with that? I mean, everybody's blaming the third party information security risk management failure process of Bank of America. And I'm not saying that there maybe wasn't a failure there, but that's not the root cause. The root cause is that the SMB's information security posture sucked. Excuse my language. Well, okay, that's a new thing, isn't it? Well, not really. So talking about Target, if you remember the Target breach from 11 years ago, or a little almost 11 years ago, that happened because an HVAC vendor, I believe in Pennsylvania, was whacked. Same thing, that was the initial vector into the Target network, and then of course that all cascaded with the, what did they do? They scraped numbers from the point of sale machines and the memory of the something or another, and then exfiltrated the data because they didn't have good controls in place for monitoring and so on and so forth. But if you remember, if you do go back in the Wayback Machine or anything internet related and see, well, what did people say about that, the post-mortem, the lessons learned? Just about, I could not find any article that said anything beyond that, well, this was a failure of all these things that Target did. Target, Target, Target. Nothing about Fazio Mechanical. Does anybody remember that was the name of the company? If you were in InfoSec back then, you probably wouldn't remember that name the next day because nobody talked about it. That's the problem that I'm trying to begin to raise awareness about, that we as an industry, we have to stop saying that, okay, third-party risk management is where we need to end it. We have to start thinking about how can we do better to convince the small and mid-sized businesses that there are serious issues there. Well, you might be thinking to yourself, well, yeah, but I mean, come on. Really, we should just be focused on the larger business because that's where all the payoff is. And really, is that true? But larger organizations have bigger payoffs, that's true. And small and mid-sized businesses are vectors for the attack, that's true as well too. But it can also be about volume over margin. So when I'm talking margin, I'm talking about, you might have an SMB that if you whack, you might, you know, gain like $10,000 versus $1 million for whacking a really, really, really big organization. But if you do enough of the SMBs, you're going to exceed the million by far. And that's actually where we're seeing criminals are recognizing those economic opportunities. I don't think that we're really seeing that. And so then the question becomes, this may or may not be in your mind, well, All right, I can understand that SMBs can be a significant risk in our industry, but I mean, really, how impactful are small and mid-sized businesses in the whole grand scheme of things? I mean, what do they really mean in terms of the economy? Well, 99.9% of all businesses in the United States are considered a small business. Now, the Small Business Association defines loosely that a small business is 500 employees roughly. I define that as more like an SMB, a small mid-sized business. I might even bring the number down just a little bit. The point being though, we'll use that as a cutoff. That's a lot of businesses. Well, and you're thinking, well, okay, well, most of those businesses you're talking about, somebody forms their own LLC and they're a business. Well, that's just a single person business. It can't be all that many. Well, no, it's 45.9% of employees in the United States work for an SMB. Small and mid-sized businesses are the backbone of the economy for the United States and really for the world. And I don't think our industry recognizes that, or maybe we kind of understand that, but we just, we're like, well, whatever. They may be the backbone, but let's go ahead and have these big conferences with axe throwing events and whiskey drinking and big swag and make the big sale and all that. Again, I went to a conference in the spring this year, and I did what I was saying before about going to a conference. I went around and asked about, well, do you have anything for small and mid-sized businesses? And again, with the exception of a couple of really independent contractors, one single person LLCs, no, they didn't have anything. Now, I'm not saying all this to spread FUD. And anybody who's been in the military understands the term FUD. Most people outside the military also understand the word FUD, but basically it means fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You go and you talk about something to raise this level of fear. Well, I have to do something because it's really, really bad. This is not FUD. I'm trying to present some actual statistics. But let's talk about statistics for a second. So how many people have heard of the, 60% of small and mid-sized businesses fail within 6 months of a cyber breach? Any ever hear that? So a lot of people have heard that? Oh. That statistic is garbage. And I cringe every time I hear it. If you do a look back on it, and this is how I realized this was garbage. Because when I was first starting the Virtual CISO Moment podcast, and I was teaching people about SMB stuff, this is before I did the interviews and all that, I looked up that stat. Because I'm one of those, I'm kind of like very detail-oriented in that I don't want to get a fact wrong, and I hate it when I do. I do a lot, but I try not to. So I found this fact in an article, and I researched it back. It referenced another article, and there was a cascade of articles it's referencing until it got to, I believe it was NCSA, I think. I should have written it down. I'm not that's where it came from, except for that NCSA put out a statement saying, no, we never said that. They finally had to say that because too many people were attributing this statistic to them. And this was back in 2011. And so this statistic is still going around and around and around out there. And I think it's partially because spreading FUD, because FUD then helps to get people to SMBs to increase their spending, usually in MSSPs, and really we're going nowhere with that. All right, enough of the challenges. I don't like being gloom and doom. I want to talk about opportunities as well, too. I think that there are things that we can all do. I want to start planting ideas into your head. Like I said, you're probably going to leave here with more questions than answers. So as far as opportunities go, we've got sites like CISA, Cyber Guidance for Small and Mid-Sized Businesses. We've got the SBA. We've got a lot out there. We've had Stop, Think, and Connect for at least 13 years now? And these are all good things. They have done a great job of mitigating a lot of the risk and getting awareness out to small and mid-sized businesses about the information security aspects and things that they need to do. But it doesn't seem to be working past a certain point. You can almost say that it has a reached the ceiling on its return on investment, ROI, for those who love acronyms. And it doesn't really make sense to spend more. I mean, we might think about it. Well, maybe we should. And I don't typically like to read from PowerPoint or from notes, but I have to read this at least a little bit as a quote. This is from McKinsey & Company. They're saying that, predicting from 2021 to 2025, the overall spending of cybersecurity products and services is projected to grow at an annual rate of approximately 13%. This marks a noticeable increase from the previous growth rate of 10% over the past years, highlighting an accelerated focus among SMBs on enhancing their cybersecurity measures. Notably, the spending is not just on products, but also on services, which are expanding at a faster pace. I would submit to you that, okay, that's great that maybe we're spending a little bit more money, but if we've been at 10% since the Target breach, and yet we had the same thing with the Bank of America breach, I mean, have we not reached that ceiling? Maybe we need to look at something else. The problem does persist. So what is it about SMBs that makes them different? And again, this is coming from my experience as a virtual CISO. They have a limited budget. We know that. And what happens, it's anything that you see as far as like, hey, you need a CASB, and that because you're SaaS-based as a small business, you need a CASB without a doubt. It's like, well, yeah, but I mean, can they really afford that? I mean, is that the right answer to just say you need another tool? A lot of this has to deal with getting them to think a little bit about risk. And that's one of the things I found as a virtual CISO is like, you can gain so much effectiveness by educating them, speaking their language. We talk about this as far as like CISOs go. So, you know, the most effective CISO is the one that can talk the business language, can talk to the board of directors, and understands how information security ties in with business risk. The least effective are the ones that, we talked about this at lunch in a conversation, but you know, your typical CISO, 10 years, what, 18, 24 months, I think we were talking about. And why is that? Well, in that 18 to 24 months, and I don't have facts to back this up, I just kind of feel this after being in the industry for 35 years, is that, well, within that time, you're a new CISO, you get in, you do your assessment, you say, hey, I can get this tool in, let me research like 5 CASBs, we find the 1 CASB, we get the budget for it, we put it in, everything is in, and then we realize, well, we're not really getting quite the return on investment at that point in time. Well, there you're at the 18 to 24 months, the CISO goes to new job, better pay, they go up the ladder that way. I don't really have much, I'm kind of on a soapbox here, but there's a lot of CISOs out there that just don't know what they're doing, and they've just been following that model this entire time. And meanwhile, the business really hasn't gained too much in their posture. They can say on their what are the 10 form, what are the SEC forms, whatever, the 10-Ks, I guess they are, that you report. It's like, well, we spent this much on cybersecurity, so yeah, we must be good. It's like, a small business can't even afford all that stuff. I mean, first of all, they're coming from the fact that there's this limited perception of need. That's what I was talking about as far as awareness. You have to explain to them, not using FUD statistics, the 6 months, 60% out of business thing, but real stuff, like this is what can happen to your business, in order for them to understand the need. But then there's prioritization. I work with a couple of startups, and in startups we're talking less than 10 people. And I mean, different people wearing, or same people wearing different hats, figuratively, not literally, that would be confusing. And they have limited parties. I mean, you can only work so much, and there's not much margin for error. So I'll give you one example. You probably, everybody here has a war story like this, but I'll give you one example. When I won't say who I was working for, because that would give it away. But the risk part of the department, the enterprise risk management, had bought a GRC and couldn't figure out how to implement it. And so they didn't run track a year later. Hardly was used. I was the one who wanted to really get in and use it and learn it. And they're like, well, but let's figure out first how we're going to do it for the risk of the company, which they never did. And so it wasn't really all that effective. As a virtual CISO, I was working with another company, now that I think about it, is that it seemed like they would jump GRC ship like every year or two. And it's like, well, this one just doesn't do what we wanted to do. This doesn't do what we wanted to do. Well, you're a much bigger company. This was one of those rare cases where I was CISO advisory and I was telling them that that's not a good idea. They had like 10,000 people and they can absorb that cost. But here, small businesses, they can't do that. And then finally, limited knowledge. I think that was the first thing. Limited knowledge of the threat environment was a big issue as far as threats go. So one of the diamonds in the rough of this, though, is that from what I found is that once SMBs understand the business value, I have it in capitals on my notes here if you want to see it, the business value of InfoSec, then they come on board, then they understand it. And that's part of the reason why a CISO or a virtual CISO really has to be very much skilled in business, high business acumen. We talk about sometimes the business value is often in compliance, not security. We know the old saying about it. I will say this about, yes, compliance doesn't equal security, but in a lot of cases that serves as a very effective key to start the process with regards to SMBs. But we still have businesses that are compliant that are getting dinged. Now that's common across the board. So let me give you a couple of ideas here. So some of the things that came about, and I think I have I don't have a spelling error here, I don't think. I think our industry should focus more on educating at conferences. Have an SMB track, or a mini track, or a bird of a feather, or something. Well, we talk about things just about SMB, so think about this presentation, but expand it. Chamber of Commerce is a great, you know, a previous session, David Meese was talking about, well, go out and volunteer somewhere. Volunteer at a Chamber of Commerce, if you're an SMB security expert. If you're not, don't do it. Because don't give them the same like tired, true advice for enterprise level. It's like, no, going in and doing threat hunting for a 30-person company is not gonna work. More participation by our industry in small and mid-sized business conferences and events. There is such a thing as a small and mid-sized business culture out there. We get a lot of those entrepreneurs together. That's something I'm actually looking into. I used to do the boothy thing, if you will, have a little VCSO table at these sorts of conferences, and I'm really just talking to other security folks, and I'm like, well, that doesn't really help too much. But doing it at conferences that are like entrepreneurs and small and mid-sized businesses maybe can get the word out a little bit more. Although it looks like I'm trying to sell something, which in a way I am, but I have to figure out how to do that without looking like I'm trying to sell something. So. And then finally, this thing about, maybe the idea about creating a consortium to help with the buying power. I don't know if something like that exists. It just seems like it would be a decent idea. And then educate the SMBs about threats and ways that they can integrate InfoSec into their operations. That's really the only way that this is going to work. They have to understand that information security has to be integrated into the business processes. And it's funny that I do this little movement. This, when I was hired on as Metro Nashville's first CISO, I was interviewed for Channel 4, and I did the exact same talk. We're going to integrate the InfoSec into the business process of the government. So I don't know. Maybe I haven't learned anything in the last decade. Now let's talk just a little bit about certifications. And there's a whole bunch of them out there, because you know, you're thinking, well, get somebody certified, that's great. There are good ones out there. The CISSP, you can actually see was here generated from this AI image. But most of the certifications are the same thing too. They're not really focused on small and mid-sized business issues. And so you can't take some of that stuff and apply it to SMBs. With one possible exception, and that's something called the Certified VCSO. Now, I don't really have time to go into the whole story here. If you want to hear part of that story, you can check out the podcast episode with Security Studio CEO Evan Francine. But basically, when Security Studio came out with this certification 2 or 3 years ago, I first heard about it and I looked into it. I couldn't get any valid information. I thought it was a money grab. And there's a lot of certifications out there, they're just money grabs, and they're over-promising something that they can't deliver. The job market's horrible. You can't have like 35 certifications and expect to get a job. 10 minutes left, thank you. And the certified VCISO though is a certification that has promise to kind of bridge the gap and provide, as I always say, that a virtual CISO should have been a CISO or have a significant information security risk management experience. Anyway, I bring this up to say that I was offered the opportunity to evaluate the program. So that means I didn't have to pay for the course, but I'm paying for it in time. It's 60 hours of classroom time plus time outside of it. And thus far, I'm about halfway through, and I think it actually has promises. So Evan is probably, maybe even more so than me, more passionate and more sincere and just more better about identifying and trying to solve this problem. When I finally met him and we talked, we realized we were exactly on the same page. I talked briefly about frameworks. That's another thing with regards to small and mid-sized businesses. I did a poll on LinkedIn. This is, I took the snapshot here before the poll was done, laid out a few frameworks, and really the numbers didn't change much. Most people thought that NIST CSF 2.0 was the appropriate framework for SMBs, with CIS 18 closely behind. I tend to agree with that. Anybody kind of chuckling why OSI is up there? I just put OSI up there because I was having fun with it. If you don't know what OSI is, then you don't really get the joke. Seven layers, eight if you include politics. So, but I thought that this was rather interesting in that we have to think as an industry too that sometimes we can't go with, like, you know, don't start a small business off with NIST 853 or something like that is where I'm getting it. Well, all of this together, I had one more thing I wanted to talk about, SOC 2s. So SOC 2 is not a framework, just as a reminder. A lot of people think it is, and that's why it wasn't included on here. SOC 2 is an attestation of requirements. It's a good way for businesses to be able to help evaluate part of the third-party risk management program, but it's better than nothing, but it's not the end-all, do-all. So. A lot of SMBs, they get SOC 2s as part of, that's their entry into security because there's the business component of, well, we're looking for your SOC 2. All right, enough about SOC 2s. With all this complaining I'm doing, I want to emphasize this is not patting myself on the back or anything, but just a few things that I'm trying to do to help the industry, maybe to give you all an idea of things that you could use your individual talents to, you know, because we all have different talents. So, I'm first of all, a few of you had mentioned when I was here last year, and I had the book Information Security for Small and Mid-Sized Businesses. I've had it at conferences before. Some conferences I've given it away, some I've sold it. I'm coming up with a third edition on that. We're pegging October 1st for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. This is not written for practitioners, it's written for small and mid-sized businesses, executives. It's taking stuff that I've learned as a virtual CISO, and I sometimes joke it's like having a VCISO in your pocket. And my whole goal here is to try to get businesses to understand from a very pragmatic point of view why information security is important. I do the Virtual CISO Moment podcast. If you're not a follower of that, shame on you, you should be. Every week I talk with someone in information security who's a not a goat, could be someone really high up, someone goatish like Evan Francine, or it can be someone who has just started in information security and want to talk about their path. My whole goal of that is that we first of all, it helps us as practitioners see other people's paths, but we focus on SMB stuff because I want us to be talking more about SMB security. That's the whole point. I've done 143 discussions so far, and I never thought I'd get past the first five. I thought I'd have to bribe folks, but now I'm booked through the middle of January of next year, so it kind of took off a little bit. I'm also a subject matter expert contributor on the television show Be Productive. You're like, I've never heard of Be Productive. What station is that on? Well, okay, it's on the largest bilingual network in the United States called Now Media, and basically that means that. Yes, you can get it. You can get it on Roku. Every Tuesday, Be Productive comes out, and I'm on it occasionally. Almost every week, but sometimes they fill with something else. But that's another endeavor to try. That's totally focused to small, mid-sized businesses. They talk about other issues for SMBs, taxes, legal stuff, marketing, promotion, stress. And I was actually invited to be a part of that. And I feel blessed that I can get my voice out in that area. And then finally, of course, the VC suing. I mean, that's why I do what I do. It's my why. It's like I could have, some of you know my backstory. I won't go into it here except to say that I could have stayed in my nice job as CISO for a bank, but I felt the calling to do something more. So finally, what's my request of you? My ask is that just at least consider that the SMB security issue is huge in our industry. We're not going to solve everything. We keep banging our heads against the wall. We're never going to get to the point of solving everything, but I do think that that's the most significant gap overall in our industry. So think about things that you can do, even if it's just beginning to understand where it is I'm coming from. And I hope that I've been able to convey that. Don't look at this as like a third-party risk management issue solely. It's about getting to the root cause. We talk about that with disaster recovery, business continuity, incident management. We go to the root cause, postmortem, all that stuff. Same thing here. We're going to need to solve this together, and that really begins with understanding. And that's...